What do you mean we left Clint on Mars? Written by Sarah Holmes and read by Litra. An Avengers All Media Types fanfic with the pairing James Bucky Barnes, Clint Barton. Rated teen. Summary. What do you mean we left Clint on Mars? Cap's incredulous voice cuts through the stunned silence of the cockpit, loud and shocked. He's standing there with his cowl in hand, gaping at the hollow screen at the front of the jet. Next to him, Tony is standing with his hands on his head, mouth hanging open in a similar fashion. Over on the other side of the cockpit is Jane, who has both palms clasped across her mouth like she's trying to hold back hysterical giggles. For his part, Bucky is just staring at the screen like he can't quite believe what's going on. Chapter 1. Soul 1. Journal entry. Well, this looks bad. What do you mean we left Clint on Mars? Cap's incredulous voice cuts through the stunned silence of the cockpit, loud and shocked. He's standing there with his cowl in hand, gaping at the hollow screen at the front of the jet. Next to him, Tony is standing with his hands on his head, mouth hanging open in a similar fashion. Over on the other side of the cockpit is Jane, who has both palms clasped across her mouth like she's trying to hold back hysterical giggles. For his part, Bucky is just staring at the screen like he can't quite believe what's going on. Well, he's not with you, and he's not with us. On the video of the holoscreen, Peter Quill shrugs expansively. My guess is that he's still on Mars. You said he was going with you. 6 months to support. Quill's eyes go wide. Behind him, Rocket can be seen shaking his head, the heels of his palms pressed to his eyes, groaning in despair at what can only be Quill's stupidity. We changed the plan. Said we'd bring him along next time while we sort out the mess with the destroyer. I said that out loud, right? Quill twists around, looking at the other Guardians for help. I said that out loud! He insists. Gamora just stares at him and then slowly and deliberately folds her arms across her chest. Quill deflates. Okay, I may have forgotten to say that out loud, he says, holding out a hand as if he's trying to pacify Steve, who is looking more and more like he's about to reach through the holoscreen and throttle Quill with his bare hands. But in my defense... Go and get him. And Bucky can hear exactly how angry he is in the short, clipped syllables that are forced past his clenched jaw. Now. Well, the thing is, we already went into warp, and we've not got enough juice for another jump back until we refuel. And if we don't catch up with the destroyer... Tony cuts the video call, which is probably a good thing because Bucky had money on Steve being about to punch the screen. Steve stares at the blank screen, at the endless blackness and the stars beyond. And then he sinks down into the co-pilot's chair, his head in his hands. Oh my God, we left Clint on Mars. Jane steps forward, distracted from her research for the first time since they took off. Tony, we need to go back and get him. Tony turns, still with his hands on his head, fingers clutching into his hair. We can't, he says. Holy fuck, we can't! Oh my God, Jane says, her eyes huge above her fingertips. Oh my God, we left Clint on Mars! Well, come back and get me! Turns out that Clint was actually aware of being left behind on Mars. Bucky wasn't entirely convinced he'd have even noticed, but yep, he's very much aware and he's very much royally pissed off. From where Bucky is sitting silently in the doorway to the cockpit, he can see how agitated Clint is. Not that he blames him at all, because, oh, that's right, they left Clint on Mars! We can't, Steve says miserably, rubbing at his brow, elbow resting on the edge of the console. If we could. Bullshit! Clint says. He stands up violently, pushes away from the workstation he'd been sat at. The video image lags infinitesimally, a short, abrupt catch in the feed. You're telling me this fucking space jet that Stark has spent the last year bragging about can fly all the way to fucking Mars in 62 days, but it can't turn around? We're hurtling through space at ridiculous speed, Clint, Tony says, fingertips pressed to his temples as he leans forward. There is no way we can stop this thing and turn it around without the help of a serious gravitational pull, and without losing momentum entirely. Physics doesn't work that way. Fuck you, and fuck physics! You built a spaceship that can't even fucking turn around! Clint rants. You fuckers left me on Mars! We thought you'd gone off with the Guardians, Tony retorts, obviously insulted by Clint's assessment of his ship and physics. If this is anyone's fault, it's Peter Quill's. You left me on Mars, Clint repeats, and then he seems to give up, slumping down into the chair and knocking his head against the desk. He lifts it up a fraction of an inch and then lets his head fall back against the metal of the workbench with a bang. Clint, don't, Steve says. Look, I know how hard this must be. Being asleep and frozen in ice for 70 years does not compare to being awake and left on Mars for... Clint breaks off, lifts his head. How long am I even going to be here for? Bucky bites his lip. He knows the numbers. Steve and Tony look at each other, and then Tony huffs out a breath and says, Lowest estimate is 149 days. 149 days? Clint sputters. I have to sit on my ass on Mars for 149 days? Until you can come and get me? We were only meant to be here for 19 days! Fuck you guys! Clint, we're sorry, Steve begins. Not sorry enough to invent a spaceship that can turn around. Fuck you guys. Tony shakes his head, for once lost for words. Steve repeats his apologies and tries to talk him around as Clint continues to rant and rave. Back to pacing back and forth and waving his arms around in sheer helpless frustration. Poor guy. Bucky can only be grateful that it's not him.
Soul 2. Journal entry 3.
Stark Tech can suck my dick. Who the fuck builds a spaceship that can't even turn around? Physics can go fuck itself. So, Clint has enough rations to last him until we can go and get him, Steve says to the team as they huddle around the meeting table in the communal area. Bucky is leaning back in his chair, carefully watching the others. The shock has worn off and been replaced with guilt. It's a tricky time. Guilt can make people do things they wouldn't normally. He would know.
Is there nothing we can do? Jane asks, though she doesn't sound convinced. No way we can...
Tony shakes his head. He looks exhausted.
I've been up all night running numbers, he says.
We're moving too fast to be able to turn back. This is tech designed for straight-line speed through the solar system. It's not got the capacity to maneuver like the Milano. Though the only way the Milano can match this speed is by going into warp, and they definitely can't change direction once they're there. We're basically doing the same, and if I try and stop us... The point being, Steve interrupts, rubbing his face with his hand, is that we can't go back. We have to get to Earth, pull off a 19-day turnaround on refitting the highway, and then go straight back out again. Bucky feels his mouth twitch. Just because Peter Quill is a moron and Clint Barton has the worst timing in the world? It's not funny, Buck, Steve says half-heartedly. We left him on Mars. We left him in New Jersey once, too. We didn't kick up a fuss about that.
You are not helping, Tony bites out, and then pauses. But Terminator has a point. It's kind of funny.
It is not, Steve says. S.H.I.E.L.D. are going to have my ass when I get back. How about when Clint finds it funny, we can find it funny? Tony suggests. It's Clint.
He won't stay mad for long. Steve sighs. Deal.
Soul 3. Journal entry re.
Peter Quill can also suck my dick. Okay. So, I've been left on Mars. My team has left me on Mars. Because Star-Lord is an idiot, I've been left on Mars. 149 days minimum. On Mars. So I'm kind of over being mad about it. It wasn't their fault, really. Quill being an idiot and a poorly timed bathroom break. I hope Cap realizes I'll be asking him for permission to go for a piss on every mission from now on. Just, you know, in case I leave the room for 5 minutes and suddenly get left on Mars. Okay. Maybe I'm still a little pissed. Natasha better cry when the team back home find out. Oh, who am I kidding? I'm not in any life-threatening danger. I get plenty of astronaut food. She'll be laughing her ass off. Can't believe they left me. This sucks, bro. Bucky walks slowly and quietly through the muted lighting of the rest area of the ship, unable to sit and ignore the empty bunk across from his for a moment longer. Above his bunk, Jane is fast asleep, breathing deep and even. Every now and again, she sleepily murmurs indistinct words, probably dreaming about wormholes or data or something. Or Thor, though Bucky reckons the murmurs would have a slightly different cadence to them if she were dreaming about Thor. There's a photo of Clint and the team stuck to the wall on the inside of Clint's bunk, up by his pillow. Bucky had pointed out that most of the team were going on the mission, so why the hell did Clint need a photo? And Clint had just grinned and said, "I'm an astronaut, bro. This is what astronauts do." He'd also stuck up a picture of a one-eyed dog and a girl with a big smile holding a bow in hand. Girlfriend, probably. Bucky doesn't know him well, but he knows that Clint Barton is exactly the type of person who could get left on Mars, but also be able to bag a beautiful young girl who would be unfathomably willing to put up with his shit. Blanket wrapped around his shoulders, he leaves the muted gray light of the rest area and heads for the brighter lights of the small wreck area. Even if Clint is personally insulted by the lack of turning around capacity that the highway possesses, Bucky fucking loves this ship. Not that he'll be saying that out loud, and definitely not in front of Stark. It reminds him of the things he saw at the Future Expo that he and Steve went to all that time ago. And now, here he is, living it. The wreck area is already occupied. Steve is sitting alone at the table with his head in his hands, motionless. It breaks Bucky's heart a little. "Steve?" "I fucked up," Steve says, voice thick. Bucky internally sighs because this fuck-up is on all of them, but it wouldn't be Steve if he weren't taking it personally. He pads over to sit on the edge of the table, putting his feet on the edge of Steve's chair and shoving his toes under his thigh. Even wearing two pairs of socks, space is cold. "You didn't," he says as Steve lifts his leg slightly, just enough for Bucky to fully wedge his feet underneath. "We all did, and Peter Quill certainly did." Steve nods, lifting his head. His eyes are red and Bucky's heart breaks a little more. "Star-Lord is officially on my eternal shit list," he says, and Bucky barks out a laugh. "Yours and the rest of the galaxies," he says. "Hey, Clint will be fine. You said he's got food. He's safe. He'll just be bored shitless." "For 150 days," Steve says morosely. "He's still furious. Told me to go fuck myself." "Well, the man has been left on Mars," Bucky ventures. "Gotta allow him some venting time." "I should have checked." "Don't go there, Steve," Bucky warns. "It happened. Shit happens. We're Avengers.
Shit always happens. Remember when Tony got eaten by that giant cephalopod? It spat him out. No big deal.
Steve sighs.
Yeah. Remember how monumentally pissed he was?
And he was joking about it by dinner, Bucky says.
Come on, Steve. Don't blame yourself. You've done enough of that.
Steve's mouth flickers slightly, the very edge of a sad and tired smile.
I'll try.
Go and get some sleep, Bucky says, and pulls his feet free. Steve waves him off but doesn't stand up, and Bucky can only hope that he's going to listen.
Knowing Steve, probably not.
Knowing he can't hope to achieve much more with him, he leaves Steve to it and instead heads forward through the hatch to the cockpit. Just as he predicted, Tony is there, sitting in the pilot's seat with his feet up on the console and staring unblinkingly out the front window.
Still crunching numbers? Bucky calls, walking past Jane's station and the rack that holds the spacesuits to sit down in the co-pilot seat.
Tony shakes his head.
Not intentionally, he says, his tone heavy and deprecating.
Oh, Barton is right. Miracle of engineering my ass.
Okay, whoa, time out, Bucky says.
What happened to the Tony Stark who declared the highway was his baby and he was leaving it a trust fund?
Tony snorts. He left a teammate on Mars?
God, you sound like Steve, Bucky says, planting a socked foot on the side of the console and twisting the chair from side to side.
Shit happens.
Tony glares at him.
You wouldn't be so full of it if you'd spoken to Clint earlier, he says.
What do you want?
Bucky just shrugs.
He's not going to tell Stark he's checking in on him because that will just rub him up the wrong way.
He's certainly not going to say, I'm the only crew member that hasn't lost the plot about leaving Clint behind, so I'm remaining objective, and I'm trying to make sure you lot don't lose your head and get us killed because I don't want to die in space, thanks.
I like the view, he says instead, lifting his chin to look up at the stars, the blurs of light around them.
Yeah, Tony says vaguely, not really listening.
He looks distant, and Bucky knows he's gone off into data and numbers territory again, trying to work out a plan B, even though he knows there isn't one.
Soul 4. Journal entry re-
Tell Kate to feed the dog.
4 days alone on Mars feels like 400 billion, just in case anyone was wondering.
I quit the Avengers. I'm going to join a team that doesn't leave people behind in space.
Which discounts the Guardians and the Fantastic Four, but I really don't want to be an X-Man.
Fuck it. I'll just take Kate and start Hawkeye Squared. We can be hired out to help save the day for $100 an hour. Lucky can be our mascot.
Oh, man. Lucky.
Taking a deep breath, Bucky sits down in Jane's seat, looking over her workstation warily.
Frankly, it screams mad science. There are numbers and diagrams everywhere, written on scraps of paper and scrawled on notepads and even written on the wall. The space is littered in pens and books and empty mugs, and if the gravity in here fails, they're going to be fucked.
Nudging aside a notepad and an apple core, Bucky leans over to flick the monitor on.
He's not a science guy. His area of the ship is the weapons locker. And technically, he's not meant to go anywhere near the communications or Jane's science, but needs must.
He navigates his way to the communications tab and pauses for a moment before clicking on Station 3. There's a beep of acknowledgement, and then long seconds in which nothing happens. He waits, impatiently tapping metal fingers against the edge of the workbench. The call connects. The screen flickers. And then Clint appears, wearing a blanket like a shroud and scowling at the monitor, rubbing at the corner of his eye with his fingertips.
Checking I'm still here, he grouches.
Yep, still here. Still on Mars because you left me. Barnes? The disgruntled look is replaced by one of momentary surprise. Bucky waves at him. In the flesh, he says, then glances at the hand he's waving with. Or not. Whatever. Clint scowls again. Not in the mood for your bad jokes, he says. You love my bad jokes, Bucky says. They're the only ones that can hope to match yours in both how terrible and inappropriate they are. Clint snorts at that. True, but I'm still not in the mood. It might have escaped your notice, but I've been left on Mars. I know, Bucky says simply, and decides not to pussyfoot around the issue. And it fucking sucks. But it is what it is, and I'm going to have to ask you to deal with that. Clint gapes at him. Incredulous, doesn't even begin to cover the look on his face. You want me to just deal with it? He manages to sputter. I've been left on fucking Mars! You fucking one-armed douchebag! I know you have, and it sucks, Bucky repeats impatiently. And we're going to do everything we can to find a solution and to make it easier on you. But you've gotta stop taking it out on the team. They're losing it. They're losing it? Clint echoes, unimpressed. He gestures around him with an arm, knocking his blanket shroud loose, as if to say, look at this man. If anyone has the right to lose it, it's me. Yeah, Bucky says. Steve is in shreds and is blaming himself. And Tony can't focus on anything but trying to re-engineer his damn spaceship so he can come get you. They're upset. They're unfocused, and they still have to get us home. Not to mention re-entry and landing. If another destroyer appears, we're gonna be fucked. That makes Clint pause. Steve? Crying, Bucky replies. Don't let him know I told you, though. All at once, Clint seems to deflate. Oh, no, he says helplessly and slumps forward, resting his elbows on the edge of the workbench and sighing so hard his blanket slides from his shoulders entirely. He sits there in silence for a few moments, and Bucky lets him. Why do I have to be the one to get my shit together? Clint says after a while. I got left behind! It's quiet and sad, and Bucky feels a pang. I know, he says. I'm asking a lot. But guilt does not sit well on Tony or Steve. And I'm worried for him. Hey, blame Star-Lord for this fuck-up all you want. Even blame me if you can find a way. But just please stop taking it out on the team. Clint's eyes flicker up at the word please, possibly because Bucky so rarely uses it. Not gonna blame you, he says finally. Your job was to count weapons, not people. So how about you use all that pent-up anger to plot ways to kill Peter Quill? Clint laughs at that. I could, he muses. All right, so dealing with it. He pauses, looks up at Bucky, pained. How do I deal with it? Pal, I have no idea, Bucky says with a laugh. We'll work something out. Clint nods. He twists around to retrieve his blanket and pulls it back around him. Thanks, Bucky, he says, and then pauses. Man, space is cold. Bucky nods. Tell me about it, he says, and leans back so he can lift his foot up above the edge of the workbench. Two pairs of thermal socks. Clint laughs. Didn't think you felt the cold. More than most, Bucky says ruefully. I just learned to deal with it. With an iron will and extra socks? Bucky grins. Something like that. Clint smiles, and then sighs. Get Steve to call me, he says. Bucky nods. Will do, he says. Talk to you later. Clint nods, reaches out, and then the video feed winks out, leaving Bucky looking at nothing but his own reflection in the hollow screen and feeling faintly like he's achieved something.
Soul 6. Journal entry re.
Bucky Barnes wears two pairs of socks like a loser. Okay, so maybe when it gets to the point that Bucky Barnes is telling you to get your shit together, you know you need to get your shit together. Steve seemed pretty grateful for the apology, though, so maybe Bucky Barnes actually knows what he's talking about. I get left behind on Mars, and I make Captain America cry, so I still end up being the dick. Life, you are a cruel bitch, and I hate you. Does feel kind of better to not be pissed all the time, though. But just so we're clear, in the official write-up, I dealt with the situation with resilience and fortitude and didn't need Bucky goddamn Barnes to talk me around. Oh, and the Winter Soldier doesn't like the cold. How fucking hilarious is that? That's like me not liking eyes or hawks or something like that. Shut up. Bucky is on his 33rd mile on the treadmill, that's part of the suite in the belly of the ship, when Steve appears. He appears to be on his way to the shower, wearing sweats with a towel swung around his neck. How he doesn't feel the cold right now is a mystery to Bucky, but he guesses that for Steve it's mostly psychological anyway. "So I checked the communications log," Steve says neutrally, coming to stand in front of Bucky, leaning his forearms on the treadmill. "And it appears that Jane called Clint a couple of days ago, right before he apologized to me." Bucky grunts. "Good for Jane." "I know it wasn't Jane, Buck." Bucky glares at him, wiping his real hand over his brow. "You and Tony were losing the plot. Didn't want to be killed in space because you were all eaten up with guilt." "It was the right thing to do," Steve says. And the bastard reaches out to power down the treadmill. "Thank you, Buck." "Hey," Bucky protests as the treadmill slows to a walking pace. "I wasn't done." Steve utterly ignores him. "Dinner in 10, he says. "And then I want you to call Clint." Bucky's brows fly up. "You call him." Steve shakes his head. "You got through to him," he says. "I want you to be Clint's point of contact. Every day, check in and see how he's doing. We'll call him too, but I want you to make it a daily thing." "I'm no head doctor," Bucky protests. "I just told him to stow his shit and pull it together." "Well, you're obviously exactly what he needs to hear," Steve says. "Please, Buck." "I barely know the guy." Steve shrugs. "Perfect time to get to know him. He's not exactly going far." Bucky groans. "Fine," he says. "I'll do it." Steve claps him on the shoulder, grateful. "Thanks." Bucky rolls his eyes and then narrows them. "You know, Stark watches you on the surveillance when you wander around shirtless." He expects Steve's mouth to fall open in outrage, to sputter and demand to know, "What?" What Bucky doesn't expect is for Steve to lift an eyebrow and say, "Why do you think I'm wandering around shirtless? It's cold in here." Before grinning, patting Bucky's cheek affectionately, and heading off to the shower. The treadmill winds to a stop, and Bucky sways with it as he comes to a standstill. Well, shit. Clint looks exhausted. Shadows under his eyes, skin pale and waxy. Bucky winces as he looks him over. Isolation is not suiting Clint well, and it's only day 6. "Well, you look like shit." "Feel like shit too," Clint says morosely, scratching at his belly through the gray shirt he's wearing. "Just woke up." "How much have you been sleeping?" Bucky asks, momentarily taken aback. Clint hums. "Well, I went to sleep after I spoke to Steve yesterday," he says. "Then you called me and I woke up." "That's like 18 hours, Bucky says. "No wonder you feel like shit." "Well, there's not a lot else to do," Clint grumbles. and you took being grumpy off of my schedule, so I had to fill it with something.
You're being grumpy just fine, Bucky says.
You need to sleep 8 hours, and that's it.
8 hours? Clint says, aghast.
12.
8.
11?
8, Clint.
9?
All right, 9, Bucky says, exasperated.
But I mean it. You need a schedule, or you're gonna lose it.
A schedule? What are you, Coulson in disguise?
It'll help, Bucky says.
I've been in lockup for extended periods of time, too, dumbass. I would know.
Clint seems to consider the point.
He looks at Bucky like he's debating something, brow creasing like he's not sure about what to say. After a moment of deliberation, he finally asks,
Where?
Siberia, Bucky says.
He doesn't mind talking about it, really. Not here, and not to Clint, anyway.
You think Mars is cold? You don't know shit.
Clint laughs through the jaw-splitting yawn that escapes from his mouth.
Okay, schedule, he says.
What goes on a stranded on Mars schedule?
Anything, as long as you stick to it, Bucky says.
Get up, exercise, meal times, shooting time, whatever.
Not allowed to shoot here, Clint says.
Stupid sealed environment.
Okay, bad call, Bucky says hastily.
But you get the point.
Clint nods.
I get the point, he echoes.
Why are you calling me anyway?
Steve's asked me to check in on you every day, Bucky says.
The others will still call you, but I'm your official daily check-in.
Clint screws up his face in confusion.
Why you?
Bucky shrugs.
Probably because I'm not swamped by guilt about leaving you behind and can be objective about the situation.
Clint stares at him for a moment and then shrugs.
Okay, makes sense. This gonna be part of my schedule?
Why not, Bucky says.
How about you call me at the same time every day? Every soul? Whatever?
What if you don't pick up?
Then I'm either fighting aliens or dead, Bucky replies.
I'll pick up, Clint.
Clint looks oddly relieved at that, nodding.
Keep panicking that you guys will get cut off from me, he admits, scratching at the rough stubble that covers his chin.
140 days is a lot longer if there's no one to talk to.
Comms are holding fine, Bucky says.
Don't worry about that. If shit happens, we'll deal with it.
Exhaling softly, Clint nods.
He doesn't say anything, just chews on his lip and stares down at the keyboard in front of him.
The video feed lags a little as he fidgets, and Bucky can only hope that the comms stay holding fine.
Neither say anything for a long while. Bucky doesn't have anything to say, and he's not one for useless platitudes.
Clint just sits there, apparently unwilling to hang up even as the silence stretches out.
He still looks tired, but he doesn't look as shitty as he did earlier.
Apparently, reassurance does wonders for Hawkeye, Bucky notes as he watches Clint tap his fingers idly against his sternum.
Okay, Clint finally says, long minutes later. I'm going to do a rations check. That's productive, right?
You've got enough food to last you until we pick you up.
Yes, but I want to see how much of that is astronaut ice cream and how much is astronaut spinach, Clint says, as if it's obvious.
You cannot live on ice cream for 149 days, Bucky says.
Clint looks right at the camera, plants his hands on the edge of the bench, and leans in so the screen is entirely taken up by his suddenly determined-looking face.
You just watch me.
Soul 7. Journal entry re.
Astronaut food sucks. So I have enough meals to last me 304 souls, which is great. Bad news is that I only have enough ice cream to eat every 3 days, and that astronaut pizza is not a thing. Though back in the pro column is that I don't have to eat any of the astronaut spinach. But that means I will have to eat the other vegetables.
And I would like to personally thank Tony Stark for the 2 bottles of... what is this? Glenfinch? That I found stashed under his bunk. Tut tut. You can't drink in space, Tony. What were you thinking? For the record, though, I am totally going to get drunk in space. Are you drunk? No, Clint says indignantly and then starts to laugh. Yeah, I'm really drunk. Bucky presses his fingers to his temple. Behind him, Jane pauses as she's walking past, leaning down and peering at the monitor. Her hair swings forward and she tucks it distractedly behind her ear, leaning closer. Is he drunk? Bucky ignores the question because between Clint's maniac giggling and the flush on his face, it's pretty obvious what the answer is. What have you been drinking? Bucky asks Clint. Clint leans down and picks up a bottle, gleaming amber in the light. Tony, I owe you however much this costs, which is probably hundreds of dollars, which I don't have. But now we're even.
Oh my God, Jane says.
Clint, stop drinking.
I also found a huge bag of jelly beans and a sketchbook under Steve's bed. Around 500 notebooks and an MP3 player under Jane's, and 4 knives and a Kalashnikov under yours, Clint continues happily, pointing a finger at Bucky. Bucky rubs his forehead. It's a Dragunov rifle, idiot.
Sniper, Clint says, pointing finger guns at the screen.
Pew pew.
Oh my God, Jane says. Clint, please don't drink anymore. Bucky, make him stop drinking.
I'm nearly 7 million kilometers away from him, Bucky says. It's not my fault he stumbled across Tony's damn stash.
I fucking hate Mars, Clint says, tone accusatory, pouring himself another drink. Some of it spills onto his fingers, then he licks it off. It's so orange and fucking far away from everything. There's not even a McDonald's. I thought McDonald's has restaurants everywhere.
You are going to be so hungover tomorrow,
Bucky says, more to himself than Clint. Clint, drinking alone right now is a bad idea, I'm telling you. Clint just grins at him. Come and join me then, he says cockily and tosses the drink back. Are you talking to Clint? At the sound of Steve's voice, Jane and Bucky both stand up and whip around, instinctively standing shoulder to shoulder to block the view of the monitor. Yeah, he's fine, Bucky says. Damn, why is Jane so tiny? Steve can probably step forward an inch and see straight over the top of her head. Absolutely fine, Jane adds, and Steve looks at her curiously. Bucky resists the urge to stomp on her foot, mostly because she's tiny and he could break her toes, but also because he knows she could kill him with science in retaliation if she so chose. And her boyfriend is a god, too, so there's that.
Bucky? Where'd you... Oh!
From the hollow screen, there's a yelp, a thud, and a crash. Steve's eyebrows go up, and Bucky sighs.
He found booze. He's drunk.
I am not!
A voice from the hollow screen says.
Steve, help me up!
Steve's brows go impossibly even higher, and Jane and Bucky look at each other before stepping aside.
Bucky turns as Steve leans in to look at the monitor, just in time to see Clint appear from under the workbench, clutching his forehead in one hand and the bottle in the other.
I'm okay, he says. I'm all right. Nobody panic.
Jane claps a hand across her mouth. Steve covers his eyes with a broad palm, nostrils flaring as he breathes out very deliberately, before turning around to bellow Tony's name. Bucky bites down on a sudden urge to laugh, looking at Clint and shaking his head. Clint just grins and blows him a kiss.
Soul 8. Journal entry.
my God, I am never drinking in space again.
Sol 14. Journal entry, this really isn't fun anymore. I miss the team. I miss people. I miss Nat. I miss the damn dog, and I even miss Kate being a pain in the ass. I miss my own bed and New York. I even miss Coulson and his paperwork. Well, maybe I don't miss Coulson and the paperwork, but I miss a lot of stuff real bad. The schedule is helping. Get up at 6, exercise for an hour, have breakfast, fuck around and then have lunch, fuck around some more, have a nap, read, and then eat dinner. Call Bucky, watch one of these 6 films that are on my computer, snack, and contemplate my existence as the only living thing on Mars. Sleep, rinse, repeat. Talking to Bucky helps as well, I guess. 7 p.m. every soul on the dot. Talking to others is great, but knowing that he'll be there the same time every day is keeping me sane. Fuck it. I don't know. Hawkeye out. When Clint calls that night, Bucky instantly knows there's something off about him. Even though he's sitting as he usually does, sprawled in the chair at the workstation, he doesn't look the same. He looks smaller, more withdrawn. How's day 14 treating you? He asks, leaning back in his chair, sipping at his mug of coffee. Clint shrugs. Bucky pauses, mug a few inches from his mouth, takes a careful sip, and then puts it down. Clint? Well, you know I'm alive, Clint says listlessly. I'll leave you to it. He reaches out towards the monitor, presumably to cut the call. Whoa, Clint, Bucky says, taken aback. What's up? Clint's hand pauses. I'm still on fucking Mars is what's wrong, he says, and his voice cracks. He pulls back, swears, and gets out of the chair, walking away. He leaves the video call running, though, and Bucky is left staring at an empty chair, and empty room, and a blank white wall behind it. Clint? He tries cautiously. There's no answer. Bucky swears under his breath, rubs at his jaw. Okay, I don't know if you can hear me, he says, but I'm gonna leave this open. You come back and talk when you're ready, or you cut the call when you're ready. He thinks of lonely nights in cold cells waiting for someone to tell him what was happening, whether he would have to wait, whether he was ready for a new mission, whether he was going back into cryo. His chest pangs with unexpected empathy, and he wishes there were something he could do. I know you call me at 7, he says to the empty screen. But if you ever want to drop an extra call, do it. I'm here, Clint, he finishes simply, wondering what else to say. Pursing his lips and tapping his fingers against the rim of his mug, he decides on nothing. He waits another couple of minutes and then gets up, leaving the call connected. He walks by 20 minutes later, and the screen is blank. A soft, distant beeping draws Bucky from sleep into wakefulness. He pushes himself up onto an elbow. Hears Steve moving further down the rest area. A light clicks on. The edge of his bunk and the floor are washed in a soft glow, and then he hears Steve's feet padding along the floor.
What is it? Tony's voice murmurs. Jane's computer, Steve says, voice thick with sleep. You know if she left something running overnight?
Bucky is up on his feet in an instant, rolling out of the bunk.
Steve, I got it, he says, and he darts along the narrow space until he gets to where Steve is, through the hatch, into the cockpit, and almost at Jane's workstation. He pushes past him.
It's Clint. He didn't want to talk earlier, so I told him to call back.
He slips into Jane's chair, reaches for the monitor. At the last moment, he turns back to Steve, who is standing and watching him.
I've got this, Steve, he says. You go back to bed.
Steve cocks his head curiously, and then nods.
Tell him hello from me, he says, and then turns back, yawning as he goes.
Bucky watches him go, and then leans forward to answer the call.
Clint flickers into view, sat in the near dark of the station, sitting in his chair with his knees pulled up. He's wearing a black beanie hat and a thick jumper, the sleeves of which fall down over his hands.
Mars is cold at night, he says without looking at the screen. His voice is thick.
Minus 60 out there, Bucky says. Keep wrapped up.
Clint smiles weakly, then hides it in his knees, wrapping his arms around his legs.
I'm having a rough day, he says. Hit the 2-week mark and...
He stops, voice catching again.
Jesus, I'm sorry, he mumbles,
reaching up to pull the hat further down his head, fingers scratching at the wool.
I had a lid on it, I swear.
It's okay.
Bucky shrugs. He's broken down in much worse ways before.
No one here but me.
You forget how much you touch people, Clint says suddenly.
Steve putting his hand on your shoulder, Nat kicking at my ankles, Kate giving out hugs like they're going out of fashion.
Man, Mars is lonely.
Even Tony, he's always standing too close, nudging me or prodding and poking. Never thought I'd miss that.
He shakes his head.
Talking to Steve? I mean, it's not the same. He still looks guilty, keeps giving me pep talks.
I don't think he even means to, he just does.
Bucky nods.
Gee, I have no idea what that might be like, he says wryly, and Clint laughs quietly.
I'm so fucking cold, he says.
No Lucky to use as a foot warmer?
No girl to keep your bed warm at night? Bucky suggests, and Clint snorts.
How's life aboard the highway?
Same old, Bucky says. Jane is still excited about space. Steve wants to get home. Tony wants to pull the ship apart and make it better as it's flying. I think we talked him out of that. Oh, and I think Steve and Tony are flirting.
Clint lifts his head from his knees, suddenly looking a lot more bright and alert.
What? Tell me everything.
Never had you pegged as a gossip, Bucky says, amused.
Hell yes I am, now gimme, Clint says. This is prime rib juicy, baby, spill!
Bucky laughs softly, rubs his hands up and down his bare upper arms.
All right, princess, if you insist.
How is he?
Bucky looks around from where he's perched in one of the highway's circular windows, back resting against the curve of metal, his feet braced opposite him. It's Steve who walks up to him, wearing the deep blue undersuit which goes under his spacesuit. Bucky hates the undersuits. They're ridiculously tight and nearly impossible to get in and out of, unaided. Though at least he won the argument about having his in black, unlike the argument about his actual spacesuit.
Clint, he called you last night.
Bucky shrugs, goes back to gazing out of the window at the distant stars. He can see Mars from here, a bright red light in the distance.
Lonely, he says. Hit a rough patch. Missing people.
We need to call him more?
No, Bucky says absently. It's touch he's missing.
You guys are a handsy bunch, and he's suddenly not got that.
I can understand that much, Steve sighs.
God, I feel awful.
He knows, Bucky says.
Movement outside catches his eye, and he cranes his neck up to see the bulk of the Iron Man spacesuit appear outside the window, pulling himself along by gripping onto the outside of the craft. He pauses and waves at Bucky, who gives him the finger in return. "He better be wearing a tether," Steve says flatly.
"He is," Bucky replies. "Looks like your safety first speech actually went in. What's he even doing out there?"
"Maintenance," Steve says. "Just routine stuff. I might have to go out to join him." Steve waves again and presses an armor-clad palm to the window. Steve grins and reaches out past Bucky, pressing his own palm to the glass so it matches Tony's.
"Oh, give me a break,"
Bucky says, and shoves Steve's arm out of the way. Outside, Tony spreads his hands expansively and then presses one to his chest over his heart. "If you two are gonna screw, just do it."
"Whatever gives you that idea," Steve says.
Buddy's fighting back a grin, waving Tony away from the window. Tony salutes and then pushes away, presumably heading back towards the airlock.
"No screwing on the spaceship!"
Jane's voice shouts from somewhere.
"Steve, you promised!"
"See? Privacy is pretty hard to come by around here," Bucky points out. "Go let your boy in, and no banging in the airlock."
Steve rolls his eyes, but obediently heads off, and Bucky shakes his head in exasperation before settling back into his perch. He looks back towards the faint red glow of Mars, thinking about Tony and Steve touching hands across the glass, and how those 6 inches might as well be 100,000 kilometers.
Sol 16. Journal entry re...
"Get a grip, Hawkeye!" "Well, that was embarrassing. Crying in front of the Winter Soldier?
At least he saw me crying over being stuck on Mars and not because I was watching the Titanic or because I'd run out of pizza bagels, right? Being here is lonely, and holy shit, I miss people. Warmth of people, sitting next to people, just being able to touch someone. Not like that, but just, you know, a hug would be nice. But like Bucky says, this sucks, but I'm gonna have to deal with it. I can't magic this better. Can't fix it with wishing. Just have to sit tight and wait it out. I'm Hawkeye, for Christ's sake. I may not be a super soldier or a freaking genius, but I will be the goddamn Avenger that survived 149 days alone on Mars. I managed 9 years at home with my dad. I can do half a year on Mars. Piece of cake. See? All you need is a little perspective."
The next time Bucky talks to Clint, he looks way better. He's freshly washed, bright-eyed, and drinking a cup of coffee from a straw that appears to be almost 2 meters long. His mug is on the floor, a considerable way from him, and he's perched on the edge of his chair like some sort of purple-shirted gargoyle.
"Cool, huh?" Clint says, holding out his cheeks as he sucks. "I made it."
"Well, it's not like he's got anything else to be doing."
"Super straw. Nice. You feeling better, then?"
"Yeah," Clint shrugs, taking the straw out of his mouth. "Might as well enjoy the fact that there is no one to tell me what to do for a few months. I'm on Hawkeye time now, and I will be using this to get my own way about everything when I get home."
"What do you mean?"
Clint grins.
"Hey, Hawkeye, go chase that bad guy," he says, affecting a deep voice that Bucky strongly suspects is a very bad impression of Steve.
"Ah, no, sorry, I can't. I'm still traumatized from being left on Mars."
"Hey, Hawkeye, fill in this paperwork."
"Oh, no, can't. I forgot how to write when you left me on Mars. Tony, get me coffee. You left me on Mars."
Bucky barks out a laugh. "Now you sound like you."
"I feel like me," Clint says. "Just a really bored version of me."
"Well, think about it. If you weren't bored, you would never have created Super Straw. You wouldn't want to deprive the world of that. You need to take the news of Super Straw back to the people.
Clint says seriously. I want it on CNN, Fox News, and a billboard in Times Square.
Did you miss the part where I'm still in space? Bucky points out. I'll put up a notice in the rec area.
I'll take it, Clint says.
Hey, I think I'm going to go outside tomorrow.
Bucky pauses at that.
Yeah?
Clint nods, looking relieved.
Bucky's not sure why. Maybe he was anticipating a more Steve-esque response to the idea.
Bucky doesn't care either way if Clint goes out or not. It'll actually probably do the idiot good to have something else on his schedule.
I got my suit here. I know how to work the airlock. I need to shoot something.
What are you going to shoot? Rocks?
Clint nods.
Rocks, aliens, the broken solar panels that Tony left here, anything and everything. I'm going to go out and be the best archer on Mars.
Bucky laughs. Setting the bar high there.
Clint nods. He puts the straw back in his mouth, mimes a bar just above his head.
Come on. You're the best archer on a planet of 8 billion people, Bucky says dismissively. Being the best archer on Mars is a given.
Clint grins. Aw, shucks. You do have a soul.
Bucky raises an indignant eyebrow at that. Who the hell said I didn't?
Clint shrugs.
You're just very Terminator some days.
You don't know me, Bucky reminds him.
Getting to know you now, though, Clint says.
We're bonding over millions of miles of empty space. It's poetic.
Poetic. Really?
Clint grins.
A little bit. Either that or it's hilariously fucked up.
Isn't that your default setting? Hilariously fucked up?
Laughing, Clint spins the chair from side to side.
Well, you certainly know me.
I know you'll be fine, Bucky says.
You're doing well.
You'll make me blush, Clint says with a roll of his eyes.
All right, that sounds like a place to end the conversation before we get too mushy.
You're an idiot, Bucky informs him.
Hey, if you're serious about going out, make sure you follow all the procedures. Everything done by the letter.
I will.
I mean it, Bucky says.
No unnecessary risks.
Wow, you opened your mouth and Steve started talking, Clint says. And he leans towards the monitor, finger extended to turn it off.
I'll be careful. I swear on my reputation as the best archer on Mars.
See you tomorrow, Bucky.
Frowning, Bucky glances at the time on the computer screen. 1916. Clint usually calls exactly on 7, but he's yet to hear anything. And there's something in the pit of his stomach that's restless and uneasy. He watches the numbers flick over, slowly turning one of his knives over and over between his fingers. The action repetitive and soothing.
Do you have to do that? Jane asks from next to him, staring down at a sheet of paper covered in numbers.
She gives the knife a wary look, like it's about to jump out of Bucky's hands and stab her, or, heaven forbid, her science.
Clint hasn't called.
Jane glances up, eyes scanning over the screen.
Not too late yet. Only a quarter past.
He's never late, Bucky says, still turning the knife over and over. Something's happened.
He's probably fallen asleep. You know, Clint, Jane says soothingly. Give it 10 more minutes and then...
Bucky shakes his head. Without another word, he leans forward and opens the communications tab. He taps on the button that will connect him to the station. The console emits its usual beep, lines of code running as it tries to connect.
Error.542. No connection.
What do you mean, no fucking connection? Bucky says out loud, momentarily unable to process the message on screen.
That shocks him. Usually he's able to observe, understand, react. In lightning time, that's what makes him able to do what he does. But suddenly he can't get hold of Clint, and his brain is stalling.
What?
Jane mutters, and she's putting her pen and paper down and leaning in.
Bucky, try again.
He does, right away. He waits. And he waits. And the error message comes up again, sitting innocuously in the center of the screen, unaware of the panic it's causing.
Error.542. No connection.
He
was going outside, Bucky says, jabbing at the button again. Oh, God, he said he wanted to go outside. Let me, Jane says, and she reaches over and grabs the keyboard away from him. Bucky lets her, turning in his chair to bellow Tony's name, heart twisted and snarled somewhere behind his ribcage. Bucky sits in the round window, staring out at nothing. It's cold, he notices. The metal behind his back and beneath his feet. Too cold to let him get properly comfortable. He doesn't even flinch as he hears footsteps walking up behind him. Buck, Steve's voice says gently. You want to come for dinner? I'm all right, Bucky says. I'll get something later. He's going to be all right, Steve says quietly. Jane said the storm should be passing over. He was going outside, Bucky says. If he got caught up in that, he's good as dead. There's a long pause. He can hear Steve breathing. The world outside the highway is silent and still. Nothing to show that there's a storm raging on the surface of Mars. Winds of 80 kilometers per hour whipping thousands of tons of suffocating dust over the cratered surface in vicious gales. No. Everything up here is suspended in perfect silence, and it makes Bucky want to scream, to try and shatter it. He doesn't, because he knows it's impossible. He'll just have to stow it and keep the restless twist in his chest locked down right where it is. We'll keep trying, Steve finally says. You want anything? Nah. I'm good, Bucky says. The specks of light beyond the glass blur. He blinks. The stars are coming back into focus. They sit silently, oblivious to the turmoil that is happening millions of miles away.